Luke chapter 1, verse 26. Here we go. And I'm going to be reading off and on through the rest of this chapter into chapter 2. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent an angel, De Gabriel, to Nazareth, a village in Galilee, to a virgin named Mary. She was engaged to be married to a man named Joseph, descendant of King David. Gabriel appeared to her and said, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." Verse 29, confused and disturbed. If an angel all of a sudden started talking to me, I think I want to be more confused and disturbed. But she was confused and disturbed. Mary tried to think what the angel could mean. "Don't be afraid, Mary," the angel told her, "for you have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son. You will name him Jesus. He will be very great, and you will call him the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David, and he'll reign over Israel forever. His kingdom will never end." Verse 34, Mary asked the angel, "But how can this happen? I'm a virgin." Then verse 35, the angel replied, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the baby will be born, will be holy, and he will be called the Son of God. What more, your relative Elizabeth had become pregnant in her old age. People used to say she was barren, but she has conceived a son and is now in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God." Nothing is impossible with God. Let's say that out loud together. Nothing is impossible with God. Do you believe that?
Amen.
Okay, good. Because if you didn't, you'd be going against God's word. And we're not against God's word. We're with God's word. So here we go. Verse 38. Mary responded, "I am the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come true." Then the angel left her. Verse 39. A few days later, Mary hurried to the hill country of Judea, to the town where Zechariah lived. She entered the house and greeted Elizabeth. At the sound of Mary's greeting, Elizabeth's child leaped within her, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Verse 42. Elizabeth gave the glad cry and exclaimed to Mary, "God has blessed you above all women, and your child is blessed. Why am I so honored that the mother of my Lord shall visit me? When I hear your greeting, the baby of my womb jumped for joy." Verse 45, "You are blessed because you believe that the Lord would do what he said." Let me read that again. "You are blessed because you believe that the Lord would do what he said." We can make that personal. We can say, "I am blessed because I believe that the Lord would do what he said." Let's jump to verse 56. Mary stayed with Elizabeth about 3 months, then went back to her hometown. Verse 57. When it was time for Elizabeth's baby to be born, she gave birth to a son. And when her neighbors heard and relatives heard that the Lord had been very merciful to her, everyone rejoiced with her. Now let's jump to chapter 2. Verse 1. At that time, the Roman Emperor Augustus decreed that a census should be taken throughout the Roman Empire. Verse 3, it says, all returned to their own ancestral towns to register for this census. And because Joseph was a descendant of King David, he had to go to Bethlehem in Judea, David's ancient home. He traveled there from the village of Nazareth in Galilee. He took him with him Mary, his fiancée, who was now obviously pregnant. You ever looked at somebody and said, they're pregnant? Have you ever gone up to say somebody, you look pregnant, and they weren't? Be very careful. Verse 6. And while they were there, the time came for her baby to be born. She gave birth to her first child, a son. She wrapped him snugly in strips of cloth and laid him in the manger because there was no lodging available for them. What I want to talk about is God's timing. God's timing is always perfect. God's timing. You think about it, in our natural eyes, this doesn't look normal. And it isn't. Jesus never did anything normal. He never did anything according to man's plans, but always to his plans. And there's a few things I want to talk about God's timing. The first thing was this. It was the 6th month of Elizabeth's pregnancy. So if we know anything about Elizabeth, she was married to a gentleman, I want to make sure, named Zechariah. Zechariah was ministering unto the Lord, and while he was ministering unto the Lord, an angel came and said, your wife's going to have a child. He's like, well, I'm too old. Never say you're too old for God. Even when you're 90, Ron, you're not too old for God to use you. People were still giving birth at age 90 in the Bible. But the thing about it is, so what happened is that he left, but he could not talk because he had more doubt than faith. But they did obey. He did obey God, even in the midst of doubting God to a point, he still obeyed God. You ever obey God throwing, kicking and screaming? I have. You ever obey God when he goes, hey, I want you to do this? You're like, I don't want to do it, Lord. But he goes, you're doing it anyways. Because it's not about us. It's about the kingdom of God. And so him and his wife got together and they produced who we call John the Baptist. And this is the pregnancy she walks in on. This is the pregnancy that Mary goes and sees. Because it's about God's timing. Because you think about it, John the Baptist and Jesus are related in the natural. But John the Baptist still needed Jesus to die on the cross for his sins. Mary needed Jesus to die on the cross for her sins. Just because you're related to Jesus physically, you still need Jesus to forgive you of your sins. And so what happens, here we go. So the angel said, hey, your cousin, she's pregnant, she's old. Like she wouldn't know that she's old. They're well in advance in age. And here they are, they're finally having their first child. Miracle child. And so when she said this, she was like, all right. But in verse 28 and 30, when the angel came, because it's God's timing, when God's timing comes, in verse 28 and 30 of chapter 1, it says, the angel tells her, you have the favor of God. When you have the favor of God, who can stop you? No one. No one can stop you. When the angel of the Lord came and told Mary, you have the favor of God. You can go do what this is going to happen because God has found favor in you. She wasn't perfect, y'all. She was as human as we are. Joseph, her fiancé, is as human as we are. So many times we look at our failures and our stumbling blocks where we have lack. I'm telling you right now, You have favor with God because you walk with God. And when God's favor comes upon you, it doesn't matter who comes against you. When God's favor with you, see, you think about it, for 2 years before the wise men, because it says he was about 2 years old when they showed up, the wise guys, the three wise men. It took them a while to get there. He was between 1 and 2, probably closer to 2. How we know that? Because Herod tried to take out children 2 and under. The devil's always trying to take out our kids. He's always trying to get a hold of them. See, when you have the favor of God, the devil can't even stop you. Look at Moses when he was born. And the midwives, they feared God more than Pharaoh. And what they did, they hid Moses in a basket. Because the favor was not upon Moses. See, when you have favor, God's going to use you greatly in that situation. It might not be a big situation, but in that situation, and you think about it, I guarantee you, when Noah was building the ark, he's probably saying, hey man, I want to get all these people going. He probably didn't know it was just going to be for 8 of them. When Jonah was called to Nineveh, he ran. But the thing about it, he didn't know the. He knew that God would have mercy and grace on him. But with his favor, the king repented and the whole city turned to God. When you have favor, nothing can stop you. Both times, and in verse 28 and 30, goes, you have favor. And I love it when the angel says, hey, you're going to have a child. And she's like looking at him like, she was like, it says she was confused. God ever tell you something and you were kind of confused about what he's telling you? Or somebody gave you a word like, how's this going to work out? Because the angel didn't know the whole story. He only knew what God told him. Gabriel doesn't know the future. Only God does. He's limited. When Gabriel gave this message to Mary, he was limited in his base of knowledge of what was going to take place. And so when the angel showed up, and Mary's like, hey, I'm confused. I don't get it. I am not married. I'm engaged. We haven't slept around. I'm pure. I don't do those things. I'm a good Jewish lady, young lady. You think about this is going through her mind because the angel is going to say, hey, you're favored. The Lord's with you. This isn't before. What does this mean? Then the angel says, don't be afraid. I don't know about you. They're having a conversation with this angel. And he's saying not to be afraid because I got a good plan for you. I'm telling you right now, if God told you to do something, don't be afraid. Just do it. Because it's God's timing. It's about God. You think about it. Everything was right the way God needed it. The Romans have built out these roads. Travel was very safe back then for that type of society. And so the thing about it, here he is, it's God's timing. And all of a sudden he saw somebody who'd be willing to carry out his plan. Don't be afraid, for you found favor with God. And now he goes into it. What's going to happen? Then the angel replied, this is how it's going to happen. Guess what? God doesn't always tell us how things are going to turn out. A lot of times I'm grateful that God doesn't tell me the end when I start something. Because either I'll skip parts that I need to learn and grow, and I won't get where he needs me. Or I see the end, I'll be disappointed, and I won't go where he asked me to go. The prophet Isaiah, the prophet Jeremiah, both were, God told them to prophesy and speak into the nation of Israel. And they both did. And before they even started speaking, God goes, nobody will repent. No one will come to know me. They'll all have hardened hearts. And I love it because then God goes, I'm going to make you more stubborn than them. And sometimes it's good to be stubborn for Jesus. I'm not going to change just because you want me to change for Jesus. I want to hold to my biblical values, what God told me. And then she goes, I'm a virgin. This can't happen. No, Lord. And the angel goes, the Lord will take care of it. He'll come upon you. And Mary's response, I'm the Lord's servant. Can you say that to God today? Can you honestly say that I'm the Lord's servant? If God would come to you and say, hey, I want you to carry this mission out, even though it will go against everything. You think about it. This is a scandalous message of an unpregnant lady, unwed pregnant young lady. Think about it. If your child would come to you as a teenager, says, I'm pregnant, but I didn't sleep with anybody. How crazy is that? And they didn't have DNA tests back then. And so here they are. But yet she says, Lord, I don't care if it goes against society norm. I will do what you ask me to do. And she did it for 33 years, being Jesus' mama. Faithfully doing what the Lord told her to do. Are you willing to carry out a mission for 33 years? And at the end, her son ends up dying on the cross. And she thought it was over. But then 3 days later, resurrection power came. God's timing. We always have to step back and say, God, it's your timing for me to do what you called me to do. And she goes, I'm his servant. May everything you have said about me come true. What powerful words are. Let everything that the Lord said about you come true. Not what the doctor says. Not what your teacher said. Not what the lawyer says. Not what your mama or daddy did say or didn't say. But everything what the Lord has said about you and to you, in you, come true. Whew. Let it come true this holiday season. Let it come true. And I'm going to tell you how quick it's going to come true. If you truly believe, because you think about it, she goes, I'm the Lord's servant. Let it come true. Let it happen. I think she had mixed emotions. We don't know. See, we only know what the Bible says. We don't know the culture 100% back then. We just know there's a lot of people traveling from one town to another and other towns. We don't know if they traveled as a family. All we know, those two traveled. We don't know if they had camel, donkey, buggy. We don't know how they traveled from there to there. We don't know how far. She was at least 3 months along. Because that's how far along she was when she came back from visiting Elizabeth. We don't know if other people came to help give birth. We don't know all that. We can say, well, you know, they had a big birthday party for him. No, they probably didn't. Because they didn't really celebrate birthdays. That's the reason why his birth is only mentioned twice in the Bible, like what took place. And it's just very little. Why, if you look at the end of Jesus' life, there's chapters in the book of John talking about from the dying he was going to walk in to Jerusalem to Passover, to his death, to his resurrection. Because they concentrated more on that. And did you know at one time Easter was the biggest holiday in America over Christmas? Easter was when everybody celebrated. But here we are, it's God's timing. And she goes, all right, let's go. And then the angel left. And then I love this. A few weeks later? No. A few months later? No. A few days. Think about that. It doesn't record when the Holy Spirit came upon her. But between then and the time she heads off to Elizabeth, the Holy Spirit impregnated her. A few days later. So the thing about it, God will start quickly in his timing. She goes, Lord, I'm your servant. He goes, good, now I can use you. Now we can move. And so the thing about it, here she is. A few days later, she takes off. I don't know if she was running away from God. I don't know if she was afraid to tell her parents. Doesn't that say to us how she told her parents? Could you imagine being a fly on the wall in that discussion? All we know is that she took off. And then all of a sudden she enters her cousin's home. What happens? When she speaks, hey, Elizabeth, how are you doing? Well, the baby leaps. The baby didn't leap because it was kicking. It leapt because the Holy Spirit touched. John the Baptist was filled with the Holy Spirit before he was born. Every time I see somebody I know who's pregnant with a baby, even when my wife was pregnant with our two kids, I always prayed they'd be filled with the Holy Spirit before they come out of the womb. I don't know if they were or not. Every time I see somebody I know in church or somebody I know well enough, I'll pray, even from a distance, that the Holy Spirit would be inside that baby before it's born. But they're not saved yet. Bible said John the Baptist was filled. Jesus was, the Holy Spirit was already in Mary through Jesus, came upon her. And the baby leapt for joy. So you're carrying, as a believer, because she believed in God's plan. She believed in those things. The Holy Spirit was in her. And when you believe in what God told you to do, you're pregnant with something. And guess what? It's contagious. It's absolutely contagious. If it's not contagious, it's not alive. This is a bad illustration, but we'll use it anyways. The flu. You don't hang out with people who have the flu. Why? Because they're contagious. Because the flu virus is alive. Until it runs its course or whatever it needs to do, it has to die off. So you don't what get contagious. Just like the Holy Spirit, if he's inside of you, he will become contagious and other people will say, I want what they have. And we should be the most joyous people on the face of the earth, even in the hardest and difficult time. You think about this. Mary wasn't set up for success. God brought in three wise men 2 years later to give him frankincense, myrrh, and gold. And then they were kicked out because wanted to take the children 2 years and younger. Here, thank you. And so the thing about it is that Sometimes when you start doing what God's called you to do, you're not set up for what you think is success, but you are set up for God's success. Some of you are saying, Lord, I just want to be used by you. And he goes, good, give me everything. And she did in God's timing. And she was filled with the Spirit. And when she walked into the room, there was something that just radiated because she was excited. And she was like, Mary, you came and visited me while I was 6 months pregnant. And what you have, I received. Think about it. Not everybody's going to receive what you have because they don't believe what God's called them. Not everyone's going to receive because they're not where? They're not believing God's timing. See, think about it. Elizabeth was experienced God's own miracle as it is. I mean, she was old. That's what the Bible says. I'm not... And she was walking with purpose for the kingdom of God. And all she knew is that she's going to raise this child the best she knew how. And all of a sudden, here comes Mary, a young, probably average-looking Jewish girl of her day, off on this trip. I mean, think about it. Jesus wasn't much bigger then a couple weeks old, let's say 2 weeks old, living inside of her. We don't know if she even knew the Holy Spirit came upon her yet. She did. She might have been like, okay, I'm going. She might not even told anybody. And you think about it here for a moment. When people are first pregnant, you can't tell. Most of them, they don't even know they're pregnant at first. It takes a while. Then they take a pregnancy test nowadays. She didn't have a pregnancy test besides, I'm getting bigger. How's this happening? I'm getting hungry. But it says nothing is impossible. When I hear, you're blessed and you believe what the Lord would do. Think about it. She's blessed. Your child's blessed. Nothing is impossible for God. Nothing. Nothing at all. No matter what you're facing, nothing at all. Think about that for a moment. Nothing at all is impossible for God. You are carrying, as a believer, you're carrying something of God to impact the world around you for the kingdom of God. You might not be on a big stage. You might not want to be on a big stage. But there's people who are watching you, who are looking at you, and wondering if you truly believe what this word says. Do you truly believe what Jesus said? Nothing's impossible. The Lord's word will come true. What he spoke will come true. Then it's interesting, verse 39, as I mentioned earlier, a few days later, Mary hurried to the hill country. A few days later. Then she stayed for 3 months. I don't know. Well, let's go back to verse 45. It goes, this is Elizabeth declaring over her, you are blessed because you believe that the Lord would do what he said. Like I said earlier when I was reading it, I am blessed because I believe in what the Lord has said. That should be our Christmas statement, our 2026 statement. I am blessed because I believe in what the Lord has told me. I'm not blessed because the economy's good or bad. I'm not blessed because this person's in the White House or not. I'm not blessed because I got all these things. I am blessed. Why? Because what it says in verse 45, I am blessed because I believe that the Lord would do what he said. That's the reason why I'm blessed. I'm not blessed because I have a roof over my head. I'm not blessed because I got heat in my house. I'm not blessed because I got shoes on my feet. I'm blessed because I believe in what the Lord told me is going to happen. What is the Lord telling you? Believe. Believe what he said. Because this whole Christmas celebration is about believing that a young lady could be pregnant by a God and his name, and she produces a child, a man, all God, all together. It takes faith to believe that. You think about it, it takes a lot of faith to believe that he not just lived for 33 years, but he lived sinless. Has anybody lived 33 days without sin? Sin is a choice, by the way. You don't accidentally sin. It's like, oh, I accidentally slept with somebody. You don't accidentally. No, it's a choice. Sin is a choice. You either choose God or you don't choose God in that moment. That's how you know if you sin. I don't know if I sin or not. Well, have you told a lie? Is there idols in your life? Is there other graven images? See, to me, they can pull down all the statues and wouldn't hurt me one bit, because my God is not a statue. My God is Jesus. And they could never make a statue of Jesus because it never told us what he looked like. A statue is just, you think about it, they're building statues all the time. Oh, look at this great basketball player, football player, baseball player. Guess what? That's an earthly compliment, accomplishment. And I have nothing against honoring people, but when you make a stone thing of somebody, it doesn't matter, because my God's greater than that. They can pull them all down because that doesn't matter to me, because I know that God is the one who is on the throne room. And Jesus says, I am a living God. I conquered death. I conquered the grave. And so, do you believe? Are you blessed because of what the Lord says? Think about it. We'll get back to that as we wrap up. And then others will be touched. When the Holy Spirit's all over you, others will be touched. And verse 56 says, Mary stayed with Elizabeth about 3 months, then went back to her home. Sometimes you can't tell if someone's pregnant at 3 months. Right? Sometimes you can. Sometimes you can't. But the baby's grown. Growing quickly. I'm just glad we don't grow that quickly outside the womb. We'll be very tall people. And so the thing about it is that here she is. And then when it was time for Elizabeth's baby to be born. Think about it. Either Mary left right before he was born, because she's like, I don't want to see birth. Or maybe she went there to help Elizabeth in her last 3 months and be there to help give birth so she knows what it looks like. We don't know. Maybe she's hung out there until John the Baptist was born and she's like, out of here. I mean, we sanitize the Bible too, because it makes it more palatable. But you think about it, this is a natural thing. It is supernatural at the same time. But we don't know why she stayed there. We just know she was there, and then she had to come back. Sometimes, and all the time, you cannot outrun God's calling on your life. If God's called you to do it, you can run all you want, but guess what? You're going to make a lot of trouble.
So if you're running from what God's called you to do, stop. Return back to where God's called you to go. Because God will take care of Elizabeth and John the Baptist and Zechariah. Think about it. Once John the Baptist was born, he wrote down 8 days later after. You think about it, friends. John the Baptist's first 8 days, his daddy wasn't talking to him. And all of a sudden they go, John, hey, what are you going to name him? He wrote down John. They call him John the Baptist because he wasn't baptizing people yet. We said the Baptist because then we can differentiate who he is. Well, name him John. They're like, what, John? There's nobody in your family named John. Why are you naming him John? And all of a sudden he starts speaking. Think about that. He was in the church. He was a minister unto the Lord. And God quieted him because he wasn't going to believe what he said. But here's a young lady who got impregnated, and she said, I'm his servant. Do what you want to do. One was quieted for months. At least 9 months, because it takes a little while. Yeah, it's a supernatural. I mean, we don't know how long from the time God says, hey, you're going to have a baby to they conceive. We don't know that. But from that time to the time, 8 days after he's born, maybe she went longer for God to say, hey, look, look what I want to do to that guy. Put a little humor into him. I want to keep him quiet for an extra 2 weeks. Because John the Baptist isn't ready to come on the scene yet. But Mary went back to where God first touched her. See, we got to get back to the altar where God first touched us. Oh, he can touch me at home. I'm just going to stay at home and God can touch me here. Yeah, he can. But there's also something about gathering with the saints to encourage one another. To celebrate what God's doing.
So you impact somebody's life outside of being, well, you know, I want to watch it online, put on my PJs, get my coffee, get my Christmas fudge around. And I'm just going to sit by the Christmas tree and take in a service because, you know, it's just too hard for me to get out. Because, I mean, I understand cold, winter, but I'm just saying if at any time. When we choose to not do what God's called us to do, we missed out on being a blessing and being blessed. And so here he is. Then was the time. And then 3 months later, then from there, God's timing with the... See, God's timing is the world's timing has to come into line with God's timing. God's timing for end time events are taking place and the world has to come into God's timing. God's timing, the world doesn't control God's timing. God controls the world's timing. And everything's funneling according to his way of doing things. And then it goes, verse 5 of chapter 2, he took with him Mary, his fiancée, who was now obviously pregnant. Can you imagine walking? Oh, when is your wife due? Or if they're walking, that's the couple that says they didn't get together before they got married. Rumors will always circulate in the kingdom of God because people love to gossip. And we have to make sure that we don't participate. And you think about it, they're traveling. They're probably hearing things. Because they're not alone. There's people from that city. You think about it, his mom and dad, her mom and dad, they're both from Bethlehem ancestry. And so they're traveling as a family. We don't know who all went with them. This is wild they were there. In my mind and reasoning, they probably got there a couple weeks early.
I think Joseph was a good man to marry. Because he said it says back in Luke that he wanted to stone her quietly. Because he was an honorable man. He didn't want to disgrace her in a bad way. So I think he was saying, I will take care of you, Mary, because of what the angel said. And I believe you now. And so I believe he goes, okay, you're going to give birth about this time. 6 months later, we need to start our journey about the fourth month and get there. Make sure we have a place to rest. And when they get there, there's no room. We don't know how long they were in the stable for. They're probably saying, well, we'll just stay one night here. And the ratings on 9 was a -1. Because it stunk. And it wasn't supposed to be used as a hotel, motel, housing. But Joseph was like, Mary, this is all we have. This is all we have, Mary. And I can imagine Mary saying, hey, at least I'm here before I give birth. Maybe in the next couple days a room will open up in this city. And Nelson, no rooms open up. He's telling Mary, we're just going to make the best of it. Make the best of the situation God has you in for the kingdom of God. Because so many times, like I said, we don't know how long they were there before she gave birth. It says while she was pregnant, they took off. While she was there, she gave birth. She was there, was there no lodging available for them. There was lodging for others. You're not supposed to be where other people are sometimes. You're not called to be like the world. You're called to be separate and different. And Mary and Joseph probably knock on many doors. Say, hey, in a couple weeks we're going to give birth. We need a place. Sorry, man. Family's already here. I don't have any more room. They probably went to relatives they haven't seen in years. You know, you ever gone to a wedding or a funeral? And you see people that you never knew who was related to you? You're like, great. I mean, I'm growing up, I'd be going to funerals or weddings, and only people I'd know there would be my parents, my siblings, and maybe a few handful of relatives. And then there's a whole bunch of people that go, this is who, and this is, I'm like, I don't know who and who and who. So if I would drive through a city, it was interesting at the time when I was driving back and forth from Minneapolis to Illinois during college, one time my parents go, hey, if the roads get too bad, stop in this city, knock on this person's door, because they're related to you. I never met them before. Oh, I know they could have been a serial killer. I don't know. But even if the roads got a little bad, we did not stop. Because I didn't know them. I believe that's what was taking place here. That Mary and Joseph shows up to people that their parents says, hey, stop at their house. They're going to have bedding for you. They didn't have high-tech stuff that we have, cell phones and texting and emails and all these things. They just said, they're coming. Let's go. Sometimes just go and don't plan. Is not the worst thing in the world. Just do what God tells you to do. Carry that pregnancy and be proud of what God's doing in you and through you, because you will touch somebody's life. Just like the gentleman who led Billy Graham to Christ. He didn't know. He was just saying, hey, young boy, come here. Young man, Billy Graham kneeled. That preacher didn't know what Billy Graham had inside of him. You may not know what's inside of you, but others will hear and see your excitement. And they'll say, go after Jesus even more. So this Christmas week, do you believe in the miracle of Jesus? And if God can do that in Mary, don't you think he can do that in you? And what I mean by that, if God can do a miracle in Mary, he can do a miracle in you. If God can do a miracle through Mary, he can do a miracle through you. So we go back to this verse 45. Nope, not 45. Yeah, 45, chapter 1. I am blessed because I believe that the Lord would do what he said. Let that be our prayer for 2026. Let that be our prayer for this week. I am blessed because I believe that the Lord would do what he said. You're going to be sick and tired hearing that all year. I am blessed because I believe what the Lord would do what he said. What is he saying to you today? What does he need to do in you? Maybe you need prayer today as we wrap up our Christmas message. Message of hope, message of miracles, a message of power. This message is ringing full of, I believe what the Lord has said. I am blessed because what God has said that he would do. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We praise you and exalt you. I thank you.